Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins picked up another win, and even though it wasn't pretty, it can still said to be a dominating win, as the Pittsburgh Penguins win in overtime, 2-1 your score, game two victory, in a 2-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Final, holding serve on home ice in Pittsburgh. Wow. Still hard to process that one, really. The Penguins dominated throughout most of that game, opened the game flying. They couldn't get a goal in the first period despite, again, dominating most of the period. Eventually, Phil Kessel was able to drill it home, and you just heard some Shawn Michaels HBK sweet chin music blasting your eardrums with his theme music during his famed pro wrestling career, and that really is the theme of that line, the HBK line. Again, the best line for the Penguins in this game, just like it's been the best line for the Penguins throughout these playoffs. Phil Kessel gets a goal, gives the Penguins the lead. Once again, they hold on throughout, and even though they were dominating, even though they doubled up in shots, even though they had the puck throughout most of the game, they were dominating puck possession. Every aspect, the Penguins had you on the stat sheet over San Jose, yet they weren't able to get another one. They weren't able to get that extra cushion goal, and San Jose would tie the game. Matt Murray didn't have to face many shots. He made the saves that were necessary. Not that one, though, as San Jose tied the game. It takes you to overtime. Everybody on pins and needles. Everybody nervous again. Penguins were the better team throughout the game. But, of course, that doesn't matter when you go to overtime. Anyone can steal it. The Sharks hadn't won an overtime game yet these playoffs, despite appearing in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in franchise history. The Penguins were 3-2 entering the OT session, with Murray having only lost one of the games. And they end up with their fourth OT win and second overall win of this series, putting them two wins away from a Stanley Cup, the fourth in franchise history. And what a way to get it. It shouldn't have had to be that close, I'll give you that. But the Penguins are doing what they have to do, getting the bounces needed. The hockey gods are smiling down on them, and not only are they good enough, because they're certainly good enough in proving that, but they're also lucky enough to be Stanley Cup champion. The Penguins are two wins away from being just that, and that is Stanley Cup champion. I am your host, as always, Mike Osti, and this is the Game 2 edition of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final Postgame Show, right here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. This broadcast, as well as all our radio gold during the Pittsburgh Penguins' pursuit of the NHL's version of gold, and that is the Stanley Cup, is powered by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com. Go to our website for the post-game recap on the Written Pen at pensinitiative.com, as well as our cousin site, pittsburghsportsinitiative.com. Also the coverage throughout the rest of this series at pensinitiative.com with the articles, the previews, the game recaps, the analysis, the entertainment, the profiles, whatever you want. We got you covered at pensinitiative.com. We even got a piece coming about our trip to an Xfinity store and our meeting with Bob Groh, former pre- and post-game show host for the Penguins, and Pierre Maguire, NBC commentator and former assistant coach during the early 90s Penguin Cup teams, both in attendance, both dropping the hockey knowledge, both guiding us through a different way in an app to watch a Stanley Cup final game and all sports really under TV, while Pierre Maguire did that and then some and also brought his hockey knowledge and was gracious enough to hear our questions and rub elbows and talk some hockey. So we got all that coming on PensInitiative.com as well as PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. Right now, though, none of that matters. All that matters is the Penguins have their second win of the Cup final, two more wins, and they're the Cup champion. They do it in Game 2. They do it in overtime. They played really, really well, but the Sharks almost stole one, but they did not, almost being the key word. And I will now bring in my co-host and my cohort and my confidant and whatever else you want to call him throughout most of these Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, been joined by Nick Case, my normal co-host here with Radio PI. Brian Keene has joined the airwaves. Paul Clemente, of course, has joined the airwaves. We've had a few others. And Bryce from Brooklyn, we haven't yet had him in a Cup final in terms of calling in, but he's been our favorite guest throughout the playoffs as a caller. But Jeff from Manchin has, I believe, co-hosted the most shows, dropped his knowledge and been the guest on the most shows at PennsylvaniaShow.com. He's also a Wilkes-Barre Scranton insider. Covered them during their playoff run. That is no longer going on, but the Penguins are still clicking, and they're looking to finish out this season as champion. So, without any further ado, we know it. The Penguins won Game 2. They got two wins. They're 2-0 in the series, and they're going to San Jose two wins away from being Stanley Cup champion. This is the Radio PI Game 2 edition of the Stanley Cup Final Postgame Show. He is Jeff Fermanchin, and he is on the line. He is on the Radio PI hotline. How you doing? You able to simmer down after that game? I know the stress had to be high. I know you drink coffee a lot, so where's the caffeine level, and where are you after another big win by the Penguins?
Well, you nailed it, Mike. Drinking coffee all the way through, and wow, what a fun two games of this series so far. I was, obviously elated to see Sherry score that goal. He's a kid who works so hard, and he plays the right way. And, it's just fun to see these young guys really stepping up. And obviously, the stars are playing well too. Crosby and Malkin kind of really stood out tonight and carried the play. But it's nice to see, the Rust and the Sheary's really stepping up and really capitalizing on this opportunity they have. And that makes it even more fun, I think. But, what a way to end that game. The Sharks get one late there, kind of put us all on pins and needles. And then, Sure, you let the air out of the balloon all at once there. I definitely lost my composure for a few minutes, but back under control now.
I still don't know how you drink coffee while watching these playoff games. I don't think it's good for your health. I'm not a doctor, but I wouldn't recommend it for anybody else sitting at home. I think you hit it. You need stars and elite players, the Crosbys, Malkins, the Letangs, to get you here, to get you in position to be a champion. You need those superstars to get you there, but you also really need those role players and the Sheary's and the Rust and company, Bonino even one of them, to help seal the deal and finish the job and eventually solidify yourself as a champion. And that's really what the Penguins are doing these playoffs. You have Crosby with some game winners. Malkin hasn't been 100%, but he's been playing well at times and opening up space for others. Phil Kessel has been leading the third line, but it's also been the best line and most consistent line for the Penguins throughout these playoffs, and he's playing at a Conn Smythe level, really, throughout these playoffs. But without Sheary, without Rust, who some question whether or not he was going to play in this game with an injury in Game 1 and that hit by Marlowe, but without those guys, and especially Sheary in terms of what he's done in this Cup final, you're looking at two rookies giving you the first two goals of a cup final for the first time since 1924, which was even before the NHL was exclusively the home of the Stanley Cup. And what Rust has done in the Eastern Conference Finals and this series, and Sheary getting a game winner there in overtime in this one. I mean, you need those stars, you do, to get you here to be a champion. But these role players are showing how important they are to eventually become a champion.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And 1924, that's unbelievable. I mean, that is,
really,
you know, that just shows how rare it is for a kid, you know, undrafted too, you know. And he did the same thing when he came to Wilkes-Barre in that first playoff run right out of college. He was the best player on the ice, you know, and he just plays that such a strong game for a little guy. And, you know, he really fits in well with Crosby. I thought, you know, midway through the season when he got his shot on Sid's line, when Sullivan first took over up in Boston, I really thought he kind of clicked with Crosby right away. And that line had it all night long. And obviously Sid's driving the train right now. But Sheary really compliments him well. And then you have Hornquist on that line going to the net. They're just, you know, they're just clicking, you know. And then, like you said, the Kessel line, you know, you got to feel good for Phil, everything he's been through with the Toronto media and all that. You got to feel good for him. Like you said, he's got to be the Conn Smythe front runner, in my opinion. And just really great to see, you know, that Bonino, Hagelin, Kessel line, they are just dominating. Every time they're on the ice, they just, doesn't matter who they're up against, they're just wearing them down. And that seems to be the difference for sure in this series right now is depth. And, you know, the more they keep showing the shot totals on the TV, I don't think I've ever seen a team that consistently outshoots their opponents like the Penguins do. And that's an encouraging thing, you know, get the puck on net. And not only do they get the puck on the net, but they go to the net. So, I mean, the formula is there. They're executing the formula. And, you know, you can certainly taste it now that, you know, it's right there for them. So go out to San Jose and I say win game three and maybe even win it out there on the West Coast. That's fine with me.
When you double up your opponent in shots, you're going to create more chances, and that's going to lead to goals. Now, the Penguins probably haven't had that lead to as many goals as they would have liked because they once again double up their opponent in shots and dominate really in every statistical category, and yet they were in a 1-1 tie at the end of regulation, and San Jose was able to tie it late. They could have easily had 4 or 5 goals throughout that game. But without the HBK line, I don't know where they'd be. 14, 17, and 19 points between Bonino, Hagelin, and Phil Kessel leading the way. Incredible stuff by that HBK line. It started off as a little bit of a joke with Shawn Michaels' tagline and then the moniker for that line for Pittsburgh once they all got on the ice together. But it has been more than just that fanfare. It has been the best line of these playoffs. And Kessel definitely is looking at a potential Conn Smythe trophy for himself. But it just really, and I do see we have Bryce from Brooklyn on this line. Before I get to Bryce, though, Jeff, if you could just touch on what Phil Kessel has meant to the Penguins these playoffs. Because I asked Pierre Maguire when we were at the Xfinity event, the Xfinity media event, that Marian Hossa was that missing piece of the Penguins during the 08 Cup final run. He helped them get there. He was such a great player during that postseason. He left, went to Detroit. They were able to beat him in Detroit the next year in the Cup final without Hossa. But then Hossa left the Wings and went to the Blackhawks, won 3 Cups, helped them solidify their dynasty, became that third head to their three-headed monster, and he got 3 rings on his finger and kind of was the last guy to laugh between the Red Wings and Penguins of that era. The Penguins never really could replace that Marian Hossa guy, and they also never were able to get back to the Cup final until now. And what is the common denominator? They have that third head to the three-headed monster. This year, the third head being Phil Kessel. They get him in the offseason. He comes over from Toronto with a lot of controversy. Whether the media was influenced by that or not is really irrelevant because he left a team that wasn't winning to now be a part of that three-headed monster in Pittsburgh and to win a championship. And he has been exactly what Marian Hossa was to this Penguin team in 08. And I did ask Pierre Maguire if the Penguins were able to keep Marian Hossa, would that have been their dynasty instead of the Blackhawks? He said he wasn't sure, but it certainly could have been a part of that. Hossa was on so many great teams, which is why he won those Cups, also being a great player. But just speak on what Phil Kessel has meant to this Penguin team throughout these playoffs and how much having that third head to a three-headed monster and a security blanket that if Crosby and Malkin are not at their best and are not on the stat sheet as much, Phil Kessel can do it. And what Phil Kessel has meant to now this cup run for the Penguins this year.
Oh, I think Phil's just been outstanding. You know, he got off to a bit of a slow start this year, but, you know, it seemed right from the start that he was in it. You know, he was fully engaged and seemed to really enjoy being in Pittsburgh. And you know, everybody who comes to the Penguins says how friendly and welcoming the guys are. And it seemed like, you know, Phil really needed that, and he really embraced it. And like you said, he creates that three-headed monster. And much like Hossa, you know, when there's that many big pieces, you just can't defend them all. And I think the biggest part is when Malkin went down and he found that chemistry with Bonino and Hagelin, not only is it a three-headed monster, but they're on three separate lines now. And how do you mm-hmm. defend that? You know, it's like you could shut down Crosby's line, you could shut down Malkin's line, but then you got your third D pair out there against arguably the best line in hockey right now. Like you said, probably the best line in the playoffs without argument. What can you do about that? I mean, you take the risk then of, like tonight, San Jose chose to put the third pair out against Malkin. Well, Malkin pretty much dominated that game without scoring a goal, you know. So, you know, he just creates that dynamic where it's like pick your poison. And, you know, you're just hoping that your guys are going to show up enough to shut them all down. And then, you know, you get beyond the third line and then you got a productive fourth line. Matt Cullen, you know, what an unbelievable year he had. So, I mean, it's just... Phil, you know, Phil can score goals that not many people can score with that wrist shot. He doesn't need any time or any space. He can rip it off. But the biggest thing that I've been impressed with by Phil is his playmaking ability, his vision. I got to be honest, as a hockey fan, I'll be honest. I did not know that Phil Kessel was that good of a setup guy, a playmaker. I thought Phil Kessel, I'm thinking the big shot, you know.
Right.
So the fact that he can make plays and make the passes that he can make, I've been so impressed with him all year long. And not one time has he lost his composure or gotten upset with the media. He's just been even keel all the way through. And Mr. Reliable, and come playoff time when it's the most important, man, he's been outstanding. And he's kind of driving the train. And, you know, it's just really good to see. Phil seems like he's in a good place right now. And somehow got snubbed from Team USA in the World Cup. You know, he's playing the best hockey of his career, maybe. But, you know, put that aside right now. That's irrelevant. You know, he's two wins away from a Stanley Cup, and he's a big part of it. And, like you said, invaluable. I don't see it just seems like a match made in heaven, much like Hossa coming, like you said, in 08, changed everything right away. You know, they had to tinker a little bit early on, but once they found the right lines and the right setup, it's been – they've just cruised since then. So Phil's been invaluable.
I would say simply Phil has been a thrill since becoming a Pittsburgh Penguin. And well, whether it was the polarizing divide of his slow start at the beginning of the year, but we knew he was a guy who delivers in clutch moments in the playoffs, in even the Olympics. He hasn't been in that many of those moments because his team wasn't good enough, but now his team is good enough. He gets back in those moments, and it wouldn't matter the slow start he had if he delivered in the playoffs, and he has delivered in the playoffs and then some. And Phil the Thrill is potentially Phil the Conn Smythe as the Penguins get game two, thanks in part to Phil Kessel, and then an overtime game winner by Sheary. Penguins win game two. They have a 2-0 lead in this series. This is the Radio PI post-game show here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves. And I now will bring on our favorite guest caller of these playoffs. We didn't have him in games one post-game show of the Cup Final. I wish I did. I was kind of a lone ranger, and luckily have the veteran radio gold experience to be able to put that together, but still rather talk to some people instead of talking to a wall. And that was Bryce from Brooklyn. Could have used him then. Bryce from Brooklyn, you are here on the Radio PI Hotline on the game. Hotline on the Game 2 post-game show. And before I let you speak, we'll have to give you your proper introduction.
Come on. Ha, quicker than your average. Pop a twist, cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink. Pink Gators, my Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, it's the head right. Biggie there, air night. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never.
All right, we'll let that bump in the background. Bryce from Brooklyn, welcome back to the show. Penguins win again. How you feeling, my man?
Hey, Diddy would be proud of that intro. He will be proud. Yo, great to be on, guys. Appreciate the love. I mean, just what a great hockey game. I mean, just a great all-around game to watch. You know, the Sharks are definitely game. I want to give them their credit. But it just seems, since we first had that conversation when the Pens are down 3-2 to the Lightning and it's looking like it's all going to go, they went out in that game six and just really got it going and demoralized them. And ever since then, you know, I love the way this team, that game seven really, I think, for a young goalie like Murray, when you can grind it out like that and you win it and you're swarming around and you're able to kind of play that type of tough hockey, I think that they found something. It's just a carryover, man, where, you know, they know if the game is close, we now got this experience with this young goalie. We know we can get the win. We can grind it out. And they didn't lose their composure. You know, they're just so aggressive on the goal, man. I don't know if you guys agree with this, but I equate it to, you know, those old Steeler teams when they would rush the football, you know, 25 times in the first three quarters and have 160 yards, and you're kicking field goals, you want to get touchdowns. But after a while, when you kick four of them and you're stopping the other team, that starts to really grind that other team down. And that's the way the Penguins are. You know, they get so many shots on goal. Even if they're not scoring, it's just a lot of pressure to go along with that great defense. So it's really good to see.
You're just kind of trying to pound and demoralize your opponent like those Steelers teams would do, where they would just keep grounding, pounding you and demoralize you because you couldn't stop it. And then all of a sudden it hits triple zeros and the Steelers won the game. And that's kind of what – I don't mind the analogy what the Penguins are doing here for the casual fan. They're holding on, and they really are giving you everything they had, and it also really does stem from Game 6, where since then they were just flying and swarming you in any other adjective you want to give. It is just outstanding the amount of shots the Penguins are putting on net, and when you put that many shots on net, you're not always going to score, and it has to be frustrating. They didn't score more goals, but – you keep on trying. Eventually, you're going to hack in. Bryce, were you concerned at all watching this game, though? The Penguins were dominating in shots on net. They're doubling up you in shots. All these chances. They could easily had three or four or five more goals. San Jose struggling again. And yet, they were only up 1-0 late. San Jose then would tie 1-1 going overtime. Did you have some concern that, okay, maybe San Jose is going to steal this? Because even though the Penguins were the better team throughout, they just somehow didn't find the back of the net, and they had that frustration even though they were doing what they had to do, peppering with shots?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't say I was nervous. I would just say more concerned, because you would like to see more goals. But I kind of go back to, you know, as the casual fan, I look at the hot goalie. And this Jones guy, for as many shots on goal, he's right there. He's not giving an inch. And 28 saves on 30 shots, I mean, that's – They run into another guy he's game. It may not be this thing where you're going to get a lot of goals, like with Vasilevsky. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I mean, that guy was on fire. So I was concerned, but the way the Penguins are playing defense and the way they're just making it so tough to get shots, you know, I knew that once they got into overtime and they got the momentum back from that last 10 minutes – you know, I knew they'd have an opportunity to end it. So I was concerned but still confident.
Well, you said Biggie would be proud of my introduction, so Biggie would be proud of that pronunciation because that was correct. Jeff, Bryce just talked about Murray. I mean, he talked about Jones and Murray for the Penguins, but Jeff, tell me how well. Try to articulate how well Jones is playing for San Jose with all the shots he's facing, so many more shots on net than Murray is facing for Pittsburgh. How much is Jones keeping the Sharks in this game? And without Jones in net for San Jose, these games could be a blowout. I mean, just
right.
Tell me what Jones has meant to the Sharks, even though they're trailing, Jeff.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean, even going back to game one, I was – very strong, in my opinion, that outside of Crosby, Jones was the best player on the ice. He was outstanding in game one, and he carried it right over to tonight. He was dominant. I saw a lot of stuff about the posts online and everything, and, yeah, a lot of times you hit the post, it's a good break for the goalie. But I think some of the posts, especially early on, the Kunitz post, he created that by getting out and cutting down the angle. He's very, very good at that. You see, he does, there's no time at all for him to react. He's reading the play, and he's out cutting off the angle before that guy even has the puck. He's very, very active, and I'll tell you what, much like Murray, it's not lunging around the crease or flopping around. He's very deliberate in his movements, and he's square to the puck. And he seems to have a great glove, and he has been the best Shark through these two games. Hands down, no question about it. Like you said, this game is – overtime is not even a thought. This game's 4-5-0 with 4 minutes left in the game if Martin Jones isn't playing the way he's playing. He's been outstanding. I've been so impressed with him. I'll tell you, the biggest save he made going back to game one, it was 2-0 late in the first period. He robs the late in that first period, and from that point on, that whole game changed. I feel like right now he's the guy that's giving the Sharks any kind of boost. You know, if it weren't for him, this series isn't even close. Going back to San Jose, the Sharks are totally having to change things up and go back to the drawing board. You know, the way things stand now, I'm sure in their mind they feel they're, you know, bounce here, bounce there, away from being up 2-0 themselves.
Right.
But realistically, that's just not the case. I mean, the Penguins have dominated this series, not only in shots. Bryce made a great point. You know, that Steelers reference, I'm with you there. That's what it is. They're just grinding teams down to the point where they just wear them out. And, you know, Jones, you know, he just can't stop everything. When you got Patrick Hornquist in your face and you can't see it, you can't stop it. So what a playoff, that faceoff there. You know, I feel bad for Jones a little bit, you know, because if the Sharks are up 2-0 right now, Martin Jones is a folk hero. You know,
right.
he's literally the hero of this postseason. But the way things have gone, unfortunately, he hasn't been a big storyline. And to be honest with you, on Twitter, you know, the Twitterverse is crazy. We all know that. But he's not getting enough love on Twitter. Martin Jones has been outstanding. Matt Murray has too. But Martin Jones has been unbelievable.
And this is why hockey's one of those sports where you just need a goaltender to be good enough for you when you have a championship-caliber team and you're stacked around. You don't necessarily even have to be the best goaltender in the series to win. Jonathan Quick was not a better goaltender than Henrik Lundqvist in that cup final 2 years ago, but the Kings beat the Rangers because the Kings were the better team overall. Similar to this year with two less experienced goaltenders, these two aren't elite goaltenders of 10 years plus like those two were, but you're looking at two young kids, and Matt Murray's been incredible for the Penguins these playoffs. He absolutely has been. He's two wins away from tying Cam Ward and Ron Hextall, and Hextall didn't win the cup that year, but Cam Ward did with 15 wins as a rookie in his Stanley Cup playoff run. Two more wins in the Cup championship would be that for Matt Murray. And maybe if Fleury didn't start that game, maybe Murray would have broke that record, but I will digress. But Jones has been the better goaltender. Jones has outplayed Matt Murray and had to with all the shots he's faced, and he just hasn't been enough. Is there anything that the Sharks can do that you're seeing to change this and get going offensively? Because you see in first, Thornton and company try to get going, and Marlowe in game one, but they really can't get it together. They're not getting enough chances on offense, and how well the Penguins are playing offensively, they simply have no chance unless they totally reboot themselves on offense. Is there anything the Sharks can do to change the course offensively?
Well, you know, I would think Peter DeBoer is going to have to, you know, juggle up his lines a little bit, you know, maybe get Marlowe playing with Thornton and Pavelski, maybe overload that top line and hope that they can create just enough offense to get him over the hump. And, you know, obviously being at home, they'll have the last change, and hopefully in their case, they're going to look to get the matchups that they want. But to me, more so than any series we've seen yet, no matter the matchups on the ice, the Penguins, all four lines are playing the same way, and they've all had success, and they've been unbelievable at keeping the Sharks outside to the perimeter. And, you know, anytime the Sharks get a decent chance, it seems like it's a prayer, you know, from the blue line that they just flip towards the net with traffic. You know, they haven't had any kind of withstood zone time throughout the first 60 or 120 minutes of hockey in this series. You know, a couple stretch passes for breakaways here and there. Murray stood tall. But like I said, it's just a prayer from the blue line, hoping it bounces in off somebody. That's not going to get it done against the team playing as well as the Penguins. I would think DeBoer is going to, you know, juggle them lines. He's going to look to get his matchups. But to me, it's not going to be enough. But, hey, you know, we've seen crazier things happen. Obviously, if they come out with a good start in Game 3 and get a win in Game 3, obviously anything can happen from there. But, you know, I just think if the Penguins maintain the level they're at, it's not going to much matter what Peter DeBoer does. But, you know, I've been wrong before. But to me, I agree that the Penguins are just – they're carrying the play. And if they can maintain their level of desperation, you know, the Sharks you would have thought would have been – you know, the more desperate team to come steal a game tonight. I thought the Penguins were more desperate, played more, you know, certainly a better execution-type game. They did what they wanted to do. I think Mike Sullivan's the kind of guy that's going to keep them on task. And, you know, it's not a fun trip out to California here. This is a business trip, and they're looking to come home with some hardware. And, you know, the Sharks, you know, good luck to them at this point. They're going to really need to go back to the drawing board.
Well, you know... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, well, two things. One, you know, one of the plays on the first goal, I thought that was just an egregious turnover. The Sharks, you know, I mean, they've had turnovers. I think the defense of the Penguins has forced a lot of that. But that was the one error right there where I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that just was a really bad one, because in a close, tight defensive game like this, you just can't be that sloppy with the puck. And the Penguins took advantage of it. You know, and the second thing is, you know, even with Kessler playing as well as he is on the lines and everything that these two players I'm about to mention are doing outside of scoring, you know, if going on the road, we're still a Crosby or Malkin offensive explosion from this really being something where the Penguins just really get them out of here. So I'm hoping that that can happen. Because we really haven't seen that consistently. And I'm hoping, just even if it's just for Game 3, we get a Malkin offensive explosion on the goal where those two guys are still unstoppable when that happens. So hopefully we can get that.
Well, we all thought that win or lose, this was going to be a long series. But if the pace continues the way it is, and these games continue the way they are, and the Penguins continue to do what they're doing, and it is what the Penguins are doing, it's not necessarily even what the Sharks aren't doing, this is going to be a quick series, and we might not even have to come back to Pittsburgh after the California trip. So,
oh, that would be great.
Yeah, there would be we bump Biggie for you when Bryce from Brooklyn calls in, but there would be some California lulls for Tupac to give him some East Coast to the West Coast. Or, yeah, you're going East Coast with Biggie. Now they're going West Coast with Tupac, and they're going to see what they can do in San Jose. But the Penguins might not even have to come back to Biggie's Zone in the East Coast and try to do it here in Pittsburgh if this keeps up. Because really, San Jose, yes, they lose by one goal in each of these first two games, but these scores are not indicative of the domination of the Penguins. These three, four goal leads for the Penguins in each of these games go to overtime. They shouldn't have had to be there. San Jose ties it late. San Jose gets a couple goals late. At the end of game one, the Penguins hang on and end up getting a game winner. It's just really crazy. The Penguins have just been the better team from wire to wire, yet the Sharks crawl in there and make these close games, but it's not enough to win them at this pace.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, like we said about the old Steelers, it's like, yeah, they beat you 16-6, but Barry Bananas Foster had 135 yards rushing, and then John L. Williams added 80, and then the defense sacked you 7 times. So it was clear domination, even though the score didn't indicate it.
You can have a dominating win and have it not be pretty, and I cannot believe we got a Barry Bananas Foster reference here. So thank you very much from Bryce from Brooklyn. I will get you out of here with this, Bryce, and let you go to bed and enjoy the win in your dreams. What do you expect? Number one, what do you expect in California, Game 3? It is a travel for the Penguins. It is a long travel. The Sharks have done all this with time, with distance and time zone throughout these playoffs. The Penguins haven't had to deal with that. What do you expect from the Penguins in Game 3, traveling to San Jose with a 2-0 series lead? And then also, I know you're an NBA guy, so am I. So do you think the Cavaliers in Cleveland get out the drought and then finally take down Golden State, or will the Warriors defend the crown with the wins record? Give me both of them.
Okay. Well, first, you know, I expect San Jose to really come out and push the pace in the first quarter. I expect them to get a lot, to try to really get a lot of shots on the goal. They're going to do whatever they can, whether it be line changes or what have you, to get more shots on the goal to try to get a lead, because they haven't been able to get a lead and it's really hurt them. So that's kind of what I expect. In terms of Golden State and Cleveland, I don't want to – sorry to have to say this, guys. I don't want to see Cleveland win anything. So I'm going to – I just don't think – it's not so much LeBron. It's I'm not sold on Kevin Love. And I think going against Draymond Green, Steven Adams plays a certain way where he can toughen up against Draymond. Kevin Love wants to play on the perimeter. He can rebound the ball, and we know that. But the toughness he's going to have to play with to go against Draymond Green, who's relentless, who's going to be in his ear all game, I don't know if that guy's going to be able to step up. I mean, they already beat Westbrook and Durant, who to me are two top five players. Cleveland has one top five player, and that's LeBron. Kyrie Irving is not a top five player to me, and neither is Kevin Love. So I got Golden State.
Well, if there's ever a God, somehow, and this is impossible, of course, I just wish there was a way to have LeBron win and get off the critics and have Cleveland still not win. So I'm kind of with you, right? But it's impossible, unfortunately. I would like the Cleveland curse to continue, but I also would like LeBron to win. So I'm kind of in a little bit of a bind right now. Bryce, I had to get your NBA take there. We got the NBA Finals about to get started, but the Penguins are wrapping up the Stanley Cup Finals for the NHL. Right now, 2-0 series lead. They win game two in overtime. You called in. We're still waiting for your follow-ups from Twitter, but we appreciate the call. We'll get at you, and when the Penguins lift the cup, we'll get you a T-shirt. So thanks for calling.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm sorry. I'm not on Twitter as much as I like to be, but I got to get over there.
I hear you. Keep calling into the show, though. We appreciate the talk.
All right. Always good to talk to you guys. Appreciate it.
Later, Bryce.
Bryce from Brooklyn. Can never hate on Bryce from Brooklyn. We keep appreciating him calling in. We weren't even going to take any guest calls. We weren't going to really take anybody. We didn't do it last year in the playoffs. We really almost shut down the guest line throughout these last couple years. Mostly wanted to deal with credentialed media members and then people with PI. But Bryce from Brooklyn called in anyway. He just busted down the door. We didn't even give the number. He called in anyway. Must have been one of those long-time fans, first-time caller. And we keep having him back, so why not? I got his number memorized. We keep having him back when I see that 347 and bump the biggie for him. Bryce from Brooklyn enjoying the game two win as he will now be able to dream about a Penguin Stanley Cup championship in his dreams. Jeff, as we round this out now, what exactly are Malkin and Crosby doing that the stat sheet is not indicating? What are they doing to help this team even while not being on the stat sheet? Because I know they're playing well. I know they're helping this team. I know they're creating space. The casual fan may not realize that without seeing the goals from them on the stat sheet. The role players are getting the goals. They're the star players, but they're still playing well enough to help this team. What are Crosby and Malkin doing in particular, even though they're not necessarily having that be dictated on the stat sheet?
Right. Well, it's like you said, you know, hockey's that one sport where, you know, the stars can dominate a game, but it doesn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. And Crosby, you know, I'll start with Sid, you know, he's just absolutely, if you watch him, he's driving the play offensively. He's got the puck on his stick. When he gets down below that goal line, I don't care if it's three sticks, three guys, you're not getting the puck off him. If he wants it on his stick down below that goal line, he's going to keep it. And then, like, it's, you know, I'll tell you, I got to be honest, over all these years, I've taken those between the legs passes out to the blue paint, you know, from my net. I start to take that stuff for granted with Sid, you know, but it truly, we're so lucky to see that on a nightly basis. It's unreal, the vision he has and the plays he makes and the way he sets things up. You know, I was reading on Twitter after the game that he drew up the game-winning play there for Sheary. You know, he won it back to Letang, and he told Sheary, curl off the wall, and, you know, you're going to get the puck and look to score. So, I mean, he's just so smart, and he at this point of his career, he's always been a great leader, but at this point of his career, you could just see the guys, like, these young kids are just, they're wide-eyed when he's talking. They take it all in, and he's just, you know, he's such a great captain, and when he's on the ice, it's like, man, he's the fastest guy on the ice. He not only offensively, but back checking. I mean, he's defensively, he's just shutting guys down. I mean, there's nothing good happens for the other team on the ice. I saw it tonight. He won 71% of his faceoffs. I mean, at this point, what isn't Sid doing is the better question, you know. Like, he's truly dominant. And tonight, you know, Geno Malkin, he really took that next step, I think. You know, I believe that Geno's a little banged up, I really do. But tonight, you know, he really was the vintage Malkin, you know, like puck on his stick, can't knock it off him, you know, coming into the zone with speed and creativity and, you know, getting the puck to the net all different kinds of ways. You know, he had that one wild backhander tonight that he almost scored on. He's just, when he's rolling like that, he just has that swagger about him, you know. And when he's playing really well, he gets that physical edge. And I think you saw it in game one, him and Thornton going back and forth. I think that kind of woke Geno up a bit. You know, then he has his first child. Just I think all those things coming together for Geno, you know, in the Stanley Cup final, he was dominant tonight, puck on his stick. And what people don't realize is when you have those long offensive zone shifts, 45, 50 seconds, and then you get over a minute, you know, you force the team to either take a bad penalty or give up a cheap goal, or you're flat out wearing them down. You know, guys can't stay on the ice that long, especially defensemen trapped in their own zone. It just wears guys down. And I think that's what Sid and Geno ultimately are really doing to San Jose, is just really wearing them down to the point where then eventually they crack and, you know, the Pens get one when they need it. But, I think there's a lot of people who say, well, why aren't Malkin and Crosby scoring more? But if you're a longtime fan of the game and you watch these guys, there's absolutely no question who the best players on the ice were tonight. Absolutely dominant, and just like I said, I think I've been taking it for granted at this point from all these years, but it's amazing when you really break it down and watch those two guys play. They're just so good, and they're such good leaders, and really they're never complaining. All the stuff that gets said by you know, the media and Rob Ross and all this stuff, every year one of them is getting traded. They've been so good through all of that. We're lucky to have them. We really are lucky to have them.
And how about Yanni Malkin's first child, gets married, has his first kid, and 7 pounds, 1 ounce. It's just
unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. And I was saying to somebody the other day, I don't know if the hospital and the doctors rounded up or down to hit the 7 pound, 1 ounce, maybe rounding up or down, and it really wasn't that literally. Maybe it was several decimal points away from that, even below the 0.5 marker, but I don't think anybody cares. 7 pounds, 1 ounce, Yanni Malkin's first child. Then the Penguins get game two. They win game two and do it in overtime. And hockey is that sport that is so more difficult to analyze and even watch for the fan in terms of knowing how well somebody's playing and being able to evaluate a performance than, say, football, baseball, basketball, or any other sport. Because you can be the best on the ice. You can be at your best. You can be even as far as dominating the game, you can certainly be playing well, and you can be impacting the game and helping your team win without being on the stat sheet at all. And yes, Malkin and Crosby have been on it a little bit throughout these playoffs, for sure. Crosby with some game winners in the Eastern Conference Finals, Malkin doing his part with assists and then some goals early in rounds one and two. But they've had the roller coaster rides of being on the stat sheet, and Malkin might not be 100%. Most do believe he's banged up, probably playing at around 70, 75%. Crosby has picked up his game, elevated himself, and showed why he's the best in the world, but it also has not always indicated his level of play on the stat sheet. But that's the beauty of hockey. It really does take a keen eye to be able to realize and know whether a guy is playing well or not and helping the team, even if it's not shown that on the stat sheet. Crosby and Malkin are all over the stat sheet in the Cup Final, yet Crosby and Malkin are creating the space. They're requiring the defense to key in on them, realizing they can break out at any moment. They're igniting their lines. As you said, they're forcing the other team to pinch at times and to be stressed out and to maybe open up an opportunity for somebody else on the team to score. Crosby and Malkin just do so much more the stat sheet cannot show, that if the Penguins are losing, it's probably because those two guys are not playing well. But even if they're not scoring and the Penguins win, it's most likely because those two guys are playing well. Even if somebody else gets the goal and finishes it, Crosby and Malkin are opening up that space and creating the offense for other people. So, yeah, it really is hard to analyze elite players playing well without the stats showing it, unlike the other team's sports. But Crosby and Malkin are having a good series. They're having a good Cup Final. You're just not necessarily seeing it on the stat sheet. It's not necessarily on them. You want to keep peppering shots and creating chances. Other guys are drilling at home, but they're still playing well, and they're opening up space and creating chances for other people. So, yeah, it's important to know that Crosby and Malkin are not necessarily awful in this series because they're not seeing the goals and the assists. They're playing well. They're helping others and having a good series still.
Yeah, they've absolutely raised their level from, you know, they were on and off. They kind of took turns in the Washington series, and then, you know, Gino had a bunch of assists in the Tampa Bay series, but Sid didn't play his best hockey in that Tampa Bay series. Now, I'm not saying he was bad, because he wasn't. He's been pretty solid all the way through, but the two of them have raised their level now to the point where, you know, there's no question who the best players on the ice are. It's hands down, you know, 87 and 71, and then, you know, we throw 81 into the mix now. It's so fun to watch. And, I mean, when those guys are going like that, it's just a treat to watch them hop over the boards. And, I mean, Sid is just, oh, man. I think back to that play, the pass he made to Sheary in game one. Like, people are going to look at that, you know, casual fans and say, well, what's so special about that? But that is an amazing, amazing hockey play. I mean, to win the puck battle on the wall and make, I think it was Vlasic, I could be wrong, but to make him look silly like he did and then make that backhanded pass pretty much with eyes in the back of his head like Sid always does, on a backhand, sauce it, and put it right on Cheery's tape. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. It's fun to watch for me. I'm going to try and really enjoy these last few games here because they're really putting on a show. And you know, as bad as things looked in December, I'm just really happy for all these guys. They really all do deserve it, and they've earned it. They've earned their way here, and they just got to keep grinding here and get two more.
It really is amazing where this team is now from where they were in December. Mike Sullivan comes in, takes over. You see a new system. You see the team improving, but it wasn't wins right away. You go into the playoffs. Fleury gets hurt. You have Matt Murray, a young kid. He emerges to the scene. He takes over. He sets rookie wins records. You see Phil Kessel, who comes over in the offseason with controversy, dominates through a playoff, maybe winning the Conn Smythe. Crosby and Malkin are playing well, but not on the stat sheet, and role players are getting those goals. And now the Penguins are two wins away from being a cup champion again. It really is amazing, and I don't think anyone would have predicted this. And if you did, and you say now you thought this all throughout the year, this is going to be the case, and they were going to be cup champion, I am definitely going to say you're a liar because nobody thought that would be the situation back in December. But they're here now, and we're now in June. What are we, June 1 or 2? June 2, since we're after midnight. But June 1 of the time of this game, game 2 for the Pens on the win. And they're two more wins away from a cup. Now, Jeff, you said you're going to enjoy the next two games. Does that mean that you think now the Penguins, or does that mean that you think now the Penguins are going to wrap this up and make this a quick series? Are you no longer believing that even though the Penguins are going to win, this is not going to be a long series? You picked the Penguins, but you thought a long series like everybody else. Are you now believing this is going to be a quick series and five at the most?
You know, I really did coming in think, you know, Pens in six, seven. I originally thought seven, but now I just, and mostly because like you told Bryce, it's not what the Sharks aren't doing, it's what the Penguins are doing. And if they can maintain that, you know, despite the travel and everything, to me in the finals, I put that stuff aside. I mean, this is for the Stanley Cup. A plane ride isn't going to keep these guys from, you know, the ultimate goal here, you know. So I put that stuff aside. I don't want to discredit the Sharks and sound like a goofball here, but, you know, so maybe they win one game at home, but I do think for sure that the Pens come home from California with the cup. I really do at this point. I don't think Martin Jones, I think he's been great, but can he be that great? And, you know, Sid and Gino are playing so well, it really is only a matter of time, right, until one of them, like Bryce made that point as well, until one of them explodes and does score. I just think, you know, the stars have aligned and, you know, maybe the Sharks find another level and prove me wrong. But I really think in San Jose, the Pens are going to raise the cup.
It really does feel like that we all thought this was going to be a long series, but the way it's going, how well the Penguins are playing and really how they're controlling the pace and tempo of these games all the way throughout, even though they're close games, that this very easily could be a quick series, and San Jose needs to go to the drawing board and do a lot of work in order to get this to Pittsburgh in order to make the 6 and 7 games, in order to maybe win the cup themselves. They need to do a lot because, yes, you can look blindly and say they're losing by one goal and they lose in overtime tonight, but it shouldn't even have been in overtime. The Penguins could easily have won by 3 goals in game one. They are just dumb. I've said it all through the broadcast, probably 6, 7 times throughout, if you want to count the term. The Penguins have been dominating games 1 and 2 of this cup final. They really have been dominating. They've been dominating every stat across the board, and most importantly, puck possession and chances and shots throughout these first two games. Those are the stats you want to look at, and the Sharks need to do a lot of work to change things if they're hoping to make this a long series. But it's very possible this is now going to be a quick one with the Penguins taking the first two in Pittsburgh, going to California. They held serve. How can the Sharks answer? But it is going to be a tall task for San Jose to beat this Penguin team playing like this with destiny and luck Penguin team side. It would be something. It'd be one that's come back for the ages if the Sharks win the cup now. Are you expecting Crosby and Malkin to get going? Is it just a matter of time? Because, yeah, they are opening up chances. They are creating offense. They haven't been able to get the goals and points, but they're doing what they have to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. The Penguins are doubling up the opponent in shots, but they're actually still not getting as many goals as you'd figure. Is it almost Crosby and Malkin are ready to erupt, and this Penguin team could erupt, and you could see 7 goals in a game and a 7-2 win instead of these close wins? Are we looking at an eruption before this final concludes?
I certainly think it's possible. You know, I would think, and I'll tell you why. I think the biggest reason I think that those two guys are going to explode, and I think the Pens explode in at least one game where they get 4 or 5 goals, and that's because the power play has been the only part of the Penguins game where you might say they've been not too great. You know, I don't think their power play is living up to its potential, and I think it's going to. I think they have 2 days off here. They're going to look at the film. They're going to see, because to me, when I look at it, there's openings. They're just kind of making the wrong decision here and there, and then the puck's out of the zone, and you got to start all over. I think there's plays there to be made. I think they're going to make them. You know, to me, like Sid and Gino, they're just locked in right now. You could see it, and I think they're going to start capitalizing on these power play opportunities, and then the Sharks aren't even going to have a chance. At the end of game one, I'm saying to myself with 5 minutes left, how is this a 2-2 game? How in the world are the Sharks one bounce away from winning this game? And then tonight, when they tied it, I'm thinking, this can't even be. I mean, how is this even possible? This game should have been over, you know, before the third period even started, and here we are in a tie game. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think, you know, maybe they go home with the momentum of the home crowd. They win one game, maybe game three. If there's a game they're going to win, I think it's going to be game three. But I personally think, you know, we could be looking at a sweep, because I think the Pens power play, it's going to get hot. You know, I don't think Murray's been outstanding, but he hasn't played over his head. He's just made the saves he needed to make. Now, Jones has had to be, like, you know, a superhero to keep his team in it. Can he maintain that? I don't know. So I think, you know, the stars are aligning here where I see the Pens kind of just breaking out and winning this thing in dominant fashion.
If the Penguins explode offensively, and if Crosby and Malkin have that explosion that they're maybe waiting to have happen, this really could get ugly, because the Penguins are doing everything else you would need. They are doubling up their opponent in shots. They're creating more chances. The role players are really going. Crosby and Malkin are creating chances for other people who then are scoring. Murray's making enough saves, even though he's not making necessarily the big saves that Jones are making. He's playing good enough to help you win with the team in front of him. And yes, you want to improve the power play, and that might be the aspect the Penguins could use to explode in the game. But there are still pieces of this Penguin team that, even though they're 2 wins away from a cup championship, you can criticize. You can say, next year we got to work on the power play. We got to get better here if you want to win again. There are ways to criticize this team. It is not playing perfectly, but it is playing well enough, and it is playing better hockey than their opponent to be a champion. And yeah, we could be waiting for that power play to erupt, for Crosby and Malkin to erupt, and this Penguin team to erupt with 5, 6, 7 goals and just totally blowing San Jose out of the water, unless the Sharks do something different. And right now they're on the verge of getting blown out and this series being over very quickly, not what anybody on either side would have probably predicted. Jeff, we're going to get going here. pretty soon, but as we do, I just want to ask you two questions here. Penguins got two wins. Right now they're the favorite. They're looking to be a cup champion. Hypothetically, because we don't want to put the cart before the horse, San Jose could still turn this around. I'm not going to say anything's over just yet, even though it certainly looks that way. But if the Penguins seal the deal here and win the Stanley Cup, who gets the first toss of the cup when Crosby, the captain, raises it and then tosses it to somebody? A lot of the time it's a veteran who's been there a while that hasn't won. There's really no player like that. Collins there, he's 40 years old, but he's won a cup in 06. Some people have picked him. Matt Murray at 22 years old, when you have a young guy doing a historic run, maybe you give it to him. Kessel, superstar who hasn't won before and playing so well for you through the cup run, maybe you give it to him. Maybe you go somebody else off the cup. Maybe you look at a coach. Maybe you go to Mike Sullivan taking over midseason. Who does Crosby pass that cup off to first if you could be in charge and tell him what to do? And then also, who is the Conn Smythe winner? Is it Kessel? Is it Crosby even for the game winners despite his criticism? Is it Murray because of all the wins as a rookie goaltender looking for a record? Is it Letang with the exception of the minus four game? You could maybe appoint it to him. Is it Rust or Sheary based on these big goals and clutch moments? Where do you go with the Conn Smythe if the Penguins win? And then what do you do with the cup toss?
Wow, I'll tell you, that's a great question, the cup toss. I could see it going so many different ways.
It's not cut and dry as it is a lot of years for teams. It's not really cut and dry for the Penguins.
Right, there's not that one veteran guy who's been like a Ray Bourque, say, right? But I would like to see it go to Phil, but I could see Sid kind of, you know, he doesn't ever do anything too flashy or anything like that. So I could see him handing it to Kunitz or Malkin, you know, one of the assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And going from there. So I'm going to say Chris Kunitz, but I would love to see Phil get it and, you know, really show some emotion and get wild with it. You know, that's what I want to see. But, but you know, and I think Phil Kessel, if he can just play the way he's been playing and get another point or two in his next few wins, I think Phil's got to be the Conn Smythe guy. I think, you know, I obviously think Sid could win it. You know, the Letang, like you said, he had that one game, but put that game aside, he could win it. But to me, Matt Murray could win it. You made that point. There's no doubt it could go to Murray. But to me, I think Phil, all the negative attention he's gotten over the years, he's kind of been getting that positive attention now. I think Phil gets the Conn Smythe, and I think that Crosby passes the cup to Chris Kunitz. I'm going to change that. I'm going to say he passes it to Marc-Andre Fleury.
That would be interesting. That would be almost a shine of respect. But if you're gonna move the torch from Fleury to Murray for the next era of Penguin hockey, Fleury
right.
started the one game in the playoffs, but he hasn't complained, hasn't moaned. We didn't hear anything about that. He is handling this with class, even though he's no longer the starting goaltender for the Penguins. And that would be a shine of respect for a friend and a goaltender that did lead you to a cup the last time you won. So that would be interesting. I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't mind that. I would really hope it's Phil Kessel, though, a veteran player, a superstar in this league who has been around the block, has been a sensational player, but his teams were never really good enough. He was drafted by the Bruins. He got traded from there. And what happened? They went to two finals and won a cup. He's over in Toronto. They're going to one playoff series. They blow a big lead. They blow the series. They're eliminated. He really never goes anywhere in terms of the postseason in the NHL. Makes a cup run, and if he doesn't get the first cup pass, he's probably looking at a Conn Smythe. He would have my vote for the Conn Smythe right now. He's been one of the better players for the Penguins throughout all of these rounds, not just maybe the conference finals for Crosby. Matt Murray's been a great player for them, but it's also not been as great as some are saying throughout some of these games because he hasn't faced as many shots as the opponent. So the fact that you're doubling up the opponents in shots and he's only having to face 17, 20 some shots a game, nothing against him. He's playing good enough and helping you win, but I don't know if I want to give him a Conn Smythe award for 17 shots saved. That's not really enough
right.
for me. I would like to go to Kessel. I think Kessel is the Conn Smythe guy, not only for the points and goals he's putting up, but he's the best player on the best line. And from what he's doing is helping Bonino and Hagelin and the emergence of those two. You could even go Hagelin as Conn Smythe, but I got to go Kessel. Kessel's the straw that stirs the drink in the Penguins' best line of these playoffs, and he's just always involved in scoring and scoring chances and action in front of the net. And that's why the Penguins got him. So I would go Kessel for Conn Smythe, and I also hope Kessel gets the first cup pass. A lot of people are saying Matt Cullen, and I could see that, but the only difference would be he's a 39-40-year-old player that's been around and is helping you bolster your bottom six, which is important. I wouldn't be mad at it. My only thing is, if he had never won a cup, I could see them doing that. The Red Wings
When the Red Wings
beat the Penguins, it wasn't Phil Bourque or Dominic Hasek finally winning, but they gave it to Dallas Drake. He's a veteran player. He hadn't won before. They beat him in series when he was the Blues before. They almost felt bad for the guy. He helped them. It wasn't a big deal. He could certainly have not been on the team, and they probably would have still won, but they gave him the first toss of the cup, and he got to have that moment. That would be like the same thing for Cullen if he hadn't won before. He won the cup in 06 with the Hurricanes, with Jim Rutherford as the general manager down in Carolina. He's won before. So now that he's won before, I would give it to Kessel. I think Kessel's deserving. And without Kessel, to answer the question I asked you, what Kessel has meant to this team, being the host of this era, I don't think the Penguins are where they are. I don't think they're in the cup final. I don't think they're going to be cup champion without Phil Kessel, without that trade of Phil Kessel in the offseason. He's been so important, so central to this team, been the best player on the best line for them in the playoffs, and has maybe been their best player in Conn Smythe winner. Right there says it all. He's just always involved in the action and has that scoring touch throughout these playoffs. Without Phil Kessel, I don't think the Penguins are lifting anything, except maybe the golf clubs and golf bag in the offseason. But they're here now. They have two wins and two more of their cup champions. So regardless of who's the winner of individual awards, the Conn Smythe, regardless of who gets the cup first, none of that's really that relevant. It's all about winning it as a team, and they're two wins away from doing so. So, Jeff, thanks for joining me. Go have some more caffeine. Hopefully you'll be able to sleep despite all the coffee and all the stress from another overtime game. But we hope to hear from you in the rest of these post-game shows. And maybe it'll be a quick one. Maybe we won't even have to have any more biggie for going to the East Coast, and we'll be able to blast some California love when the Penguins lift another cup on the road, because their first three were all on the road. It would be nice to finally lift it in Pittsburgh, but we'll see. Penguins get right now two wins and need two more. So,
thanks for having me, Mike. It was a good time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Always fun with Jeff Vermanchin of PensInitiative.com, or Wilkes-Barre Scranton Insider. Covered them during their playoff run and all through the season for us at PensInitiative.com. I still don't get how you can drink that much coffee while watching a stressful playoff game and then expect to go to bed, expect to come down, and not have a heart attack. So we keep on praying that Jeff does not have a heart attack with loads of coffee during these stressful playoff games. But as Jeff said, as Bryce said, and as I keep on saying, the Penguins have been dominating. They've been the better team. They've been so dominating through these first two games. They've been close games. They've been one-goal games, and game two was in overtime, but these could easily be three or four-goal differences, and it really does feel like the Penguins are ready to explode offensively. Malkin and Crosby, with all these chances and shots, they're creating so much for everybody else. Finally, for the two of them, you might see goals, you might see points, you might see an explosion. The Pens' power play could improve. You might see an explosion there. You could see five or six goals, seven goals, and this team winning by four or five goals. You really, really could. This could be a quick series when everybody thought it was going to be a long series. Regardless, this certainly is a series for the Penguins to lose, and a Stanley Cup now for the Penguins to lose. They hold serve at home. They win the first two. They do it in dominating fashion, despite it not always being pretty. And the Pittsburgh Penguins have a 2-0 series lead in the 2016 Stanley Cup Final, going on the road to San Jose, California. This will be the first cup final home game ever in the history of the San Jose Sharks. It'll be a rocking house for them there. Mike Lang, the Penguins play-by-play on the radio these days, Hall of Famer, former TV play-by-play from Northern California. So we'll get to call a Stanley Cup final game at home for his beloved Pittsburgh Penguins. And they're going to have that time difference and time zone travel that will favor the Sharks, because they've done it before. The Penguins haven't really had to go too far and fly too far in these playoffs yet. Could mean something. We'll see in the beginning of that game if the Penguins are still able to be flying with the jet lag to begin game three. We get a couple days break now to soak this up and enjoy this moment, looking at Saturday for game three in San Jose, as the Penguins really want to cement things, because the win there, it doesn't matter anything else that happens. Sharks are not coming back from 0-3. They've It's happened a couple times in postseason series in the NHL history, and we all know about the 04 Red Sox and in Major League Baseball, but it's just not happening here. You know, you're not seeing it in the Stanley Cup final against this Penguin team playing like they are, with the hockey yard smiling down on them, creating so many chances, so many shots, and Murray giving you enough in net. I guess it would be next to impossible. So this is already a tall task coming down from 0-2. I can't imagine 0-3. Game 3, all but assured, the Penguins Stanley Cup win with a victory, and maybe as a series in general, because that would be a lot of momentum for the Sharks if they are able to win it. But I don't see really a path for San Jose. They got a lot of work to do. They got to get to the drawing board. The Penguins have been dominating through 2 games. Shots on net, scoring chances, all coming up roses for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not much yet on the stat sheet from Crosby and Malkin, but the creating offense and creating space for everybody else. The role players are taking over, and the Penguins are doing enough on both sides of the ice, offense, defense, and everywhere you can look to win these games. And they're not only good enough, but they're lucky enough. And 2 more, and they're Stanley Cup champions. So with all that said, on Morgan Freeman's birthday, no less, so I got to give him his dap before we close this one. I always say everything I do on the air is gold quality. My gold quality and my golden pipes are nothing in comparison to the voice of gold, and that is Morgan Freeman, who had a birthday. So no longer his birthday as the clock has struck midnight, but still happy birthday to Morgan Freeman. Now happy belated birthday to the voice of gold, Morgan Freeman. My voice of gold never can even top the voice of gold that is Morgan Freeman, as much as I would hope. So I can only hope to even be half of the vocal gold quality that Morgan Freeman is. So happy belated birthday to Morgan Freeman. And happy Stanley Cup final win to all Pittsburgh Penguin fans. So as we wrap this up, for everybody at PensInitiative.com and the cousin site, PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, thanks to Jeff Vermanchin for calling in and being my co-host for this broadcast. Thanks to Bryce from Brooklyn for once again calling in, dropping the casual fan hot takes for us, which, with some knowledge, so there's some logic there. It's not the buffoon hot takes you probably would figure from a casual fan. Got to keep having him call in through this cup final and playing more biggie for him, playing hypnotized when he calls in. Look to the website, look to PensInitiative.com, go to PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for this podcast, both websites, as well as the game previews, recaps, all the articles, all the covers throughout this cup final, then the aftermath with maybe a parade, with the offseason, some questions there, all the way until the puck drops on the 2016-2017 season and everyone in Pittsburgh gets to complain again and, oh, it should be back-to-back and one cup's not enough and all that. We're going to let that be right now, though. We'll let that lie. There's some articles touching on that, which I do believe are satire for anybody who didn't read it that way, by some Steelers writers. Pittsburgh fans and users are just never satisfied. Everybody could be winning, and they'd find something to be upset about. That's kind of where I think they were going. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that with, I believe, a satire article from the Steelers coverage. But nonetheless, Penguins win game 2. They do it in overtime. They win it 2-1. Sheary with the game winner in OT. They dominated this game. They really, really did dominate the game. They've been dominating the entire series, but the results haven't been pretty. So the Pittsburgh Penguins have been dominating the cup final through 2. But the results haven't been pretty, but the results don't matter. The only result that matters is who wins and who loses. The Penguins have won both of these 2 games. They have a 2-0 series lead in this series. And going to California, looking for 2 more, and 2 more means a Stanley Cup championship, the 4th in franchise history. So for everybody at PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, everybody at DKPittsburghSports.com, as this broadcast is powered by DKPittsburghSports.com and Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics, for Jeff, for Bryce from Brooklyn, I am Mike Osti with hopeful radio gold in comparison to Morgan Freeman's gold quality voice. Happy birthday to Morgan Freeman. The Pittsburgh Penguins are winners again. They have a 2-0 series lead in the 2016 Stanley Cup final. They win game 2 in overtime, 2-1, your score. This has been our version of gold, our gold quality here on the radio in the Pens Initiative Airwaves, while the Pittsburgh Penguins pursue NHL gold, the Stanley Cup, I keep giving you my version of gold, and that is radio gold on the Penns and the Shiver Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. When it's time to party, we will party hard.